Blog Talk Radio.
Babylon, teaching me her pleasure-driven way. Have some fun. Forget about tomorrow, live today. Her music and her fashion, her Hollywood and passion, stimulate the flesh just like wine. And all the while she pulls us all away from everything divine. But I have heard a voice calling me out of Babylon to a higher place. There's a mountain I can live upon. Babylon, the mystery reaches further to the soul. Could religion never let the spirit have
on me.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report with the one and only Sister Marie. Well, she's already in studio. We are set to go. We are ready to get started. We're ready to take care of business here today. We've been doing an outstanding series on Black Lives Matter / critical race theory / Marxism / liberation theology. You name it, we've been talking about it. And I want to thank again the Lord, because I have nothing to do with these series, I got to tell you. Sister Marie, Sister AJ, they seek the Lord. The Lord tells them what to bring forth, what topic to discuss. They work overtime to get the audio and get everything set up. And we come together and we receive, we are blessed by the fruit of their labor. And so I'm looking forward to today's lesson, to today's broadcast, to today's time together, where we can just play some audio, discuss what's being said, agree or disagree. 99.9% of the time we've been agreeing with these brothers who are just in the Word, and this has been a great, great series. Before I bring on Sister Marie, you know that if you're in need of prayer, all you have to do is email me at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com, powerofprayer2018@gmail.com, and we promise to pray for you each and every day. I hope that you are praying for the host of these shows as we are praying for you. Also, saints, we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for everything that's going on in our country, and for our economy, for our politics, for the government's approach to COVID. We just need to pray. We just need to do what St. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that we should be praying for all of those men, all of those women, all of those leaders who are in authority. So let's continue to pray. Sister AJ will be in tomorrow at 2 p.m. in the afternoon to continue her wonderful series on Jesus in Hollywood. And I got to tell you, this is a 1-2 combination. Tuesday and Wednesday, it's a 1-2 combination, and it's just awesome. All right, let me bring on my dear sister. All right, come on, computer, behave yourself today. My dear sister, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, and you, bro?
I'm doing good. It's been chilly here. It's been chilly. The leaves are starting to fall. And it's we're in fall now. We're in the fall season.
Yes.
The fall
season.
And I like this kind of weather. My favorite season of the year happens to be fall, by the way. That's my favorite.
Yeah, mine too.
that's my favorite season of the year. My most exciting season has always been the spring, because that's when things on the farm are born. They're always born in the spring. So that's an exciting time, you know, when you have pigs giving birth, and you have lambs and goats, sheep and goats giving birth, and cows giving birth. It's just a wonderful time. Springtime is just wonderful time in the country when you have a farm. It's just that's the season of life. And the fall is the, you know, listen, it's the pumpkin pies. It's the hot cocoa. It's the apple cider donuts, which right now I am miles away from this place that makes them, but I'm smelling them in my mind. The apple cider donuts are calling to me, saying, come, come to us. Have some fellowship with us. And that's it. This is a great time, great time.
Yeah, we have that too. We have an apple orchard not far away, and there's you know, the hay rides, the donuts, cider donuts, all that stuff. It's great. Great stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you gave us a song today called Babylon. Never heard of this group,
mm-hmm.
another new group. Do you know much about
mm-hmm.
them?
I don't know a lot about the group, but I like the message.
Right.
They look like a good group. I mean, I couldn't find anything negative about them.
Sure.
That's the main thing that I looked for. But, yeah, the message was great in that. You know, and everyone could relate to that time that they were taken out of Babylon, you know,
right.
out of the world.
Right.
When everyone can relate to that. And, you know, how the world has so much you think to offer, and it really doesn't, you know, and
mm-hmm.
you're taken out.
Right.
The Lord takes you out. And that was the message today with that. And I think it's going to be our message, you know, with our show, too.
Absolutely.
You need to come out. You need to come
out
of these things.
That's
so
it.
So I like the message of that song. You know, I'm not big on that type of music, but I do like the message. So that was important to me. And I think it goes well with the show. So that's
absolutely.
Why I picked that one.
Yeah, that text in Revelation 19, excuse me, Revelation 18, verse 4, when God says, come up from among them, ye
mm-hmm.
my people, for my plagues that I'm about to unleash upon Babylon are great. I think it's time to hightail it out of these churches and to hightail it, you know, out of whatever group you're involved in, which dishonors the Lord. Like if you're involved in, now listen, I can understand you're into social justice. I'm into social justice, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not a radical social justice person. There's a difference. Well,
right.
you know,
right.
if you love God and if you love your fellow man, you are into social justice, right? I mean,
correct.
That's it. But you're not
yeah.
a radical social justice person where you are, you know, everything is, they hate us, you know, the man,
mm-hmm.
You know, we're being persecuted, you know, we're being kept down. I don't want to hear that from someone from like LeBron James, who is
yeah.
filthy rich and still is claiming that the man is keeping him down. That guy should have the little yellow school bus come pick him up every day for school because he's retarded.
Yes.
He's retarded
yes.
when you say things like that.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
well,
that's it.
You know, everybody has a worldview. I mean, you know, so we need to understand what the worldview is. You have a view in the world of everything you do in life. You have a view about
right.
it, you know. That's where we make our decisions of right and wrong, why we're here. We have a view
right.
on things. So, yeah, yeah, these radical, things going on, automatically you know Jesus was not radical in the world. It wasn't all these things directly go against the word of God. He wasn't
right.
about all this hate. He wasn't about violence. He wasn't about looting, you know. And
right.
And we can't be either. I mean,
right.
honestly.
Right. See,
we
when,
have
when,
to follow
when,
the word of God.
Correct. Correct. See, when the Marxists in the church, when the people
mm-hmm.
who subscribe to liberation theology call Jesus a radical, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know what they're talking about. They're saying Jesus is a Jewish Fidel Castro. That's what they're
mm-hmm.
saying, right?
Yeah.
Or no, Jesus. Now I can tell you when it comes to love. Yes, Jesus was radical.
Yeah.
Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they claimed to love, but they were ripping people off and robbing little widows. So, yeah, in that sense,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to love, Jesus was radical. But he's not a black Marxist liberation theology radical. He's not, he's not a communist radical. No, he's not that. Which
right.
is, see, so we need to remind these people, yeah, you can use the word radical in two ways. I'm a radical radio host. Why? Because I come here and I blast these false prophets and these false teachers who rip God's people off. And that way I'm radical because there are a few people like me. But I'm not, but just because I'm radical doesn't mean I'm a communist. So that's it.
You can be radical about your religion. Honestly,
sure.
We can be radical about Jesus.
Correct.
You know, it's different. It's different. But, you know, worldly things, the idea is to separate yourself from the worldly things going on. That is the whole idea of coming out of the world. So we can't follow the group, the crowd. We can't be like that. It's not going to work. And you'll end up on the wrong side, you know, at the end, if you follow the wrong group. So it's that serious. It really is, because you can be led astray by any group. So last week, you know, we completed the audio by Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker of Just Thinking Ministries on Black Lives Matter with a question mark. You know, we discussed a lot of things, and I think that was excellent to lead into their next series here. So in this part of the series, we're going to dig into the religious beliefs and the church of Black Lives Matter. Now, with BLM, I believe it's important to understand their worldview and also their religious beliefs. So we can fully understand how this group needs to be avoided. Every movement has some type of core belief, bro.
Correct.
I don't care what you're looking at.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's
any comment?
I like the title of the podcast, The Church of BLM. That's intriguing to me. See, I didn't know BLM was advocating spiritual aspects. So that title is just luring me right in, is drawing me.
Right.
Because it's a very interesting title, The Church of BLM, because BLM is not registered as a 501c3 nonprofit church organization. It's not.
Right.
But the fact that it's called The Church of BLM means that they are adopting not only political radical views, but that their religious views are also radical, a la Satan.
Right.
Right. Because Satan has synagogues, you know, and he doesn't care if you're black, if you're green, if you're brown, as long as you can be his puppet, you can be a member of his synagogue, because his synagogue, the people in the synagogue, persecute God's people. They hate God's people. So it's easy. If you like to hate, then you can be a member of Satan's synagogue. Simple.
Well, I think a good example, too, we can look at, like, if you want to talk about a core beliefs, you have, like, the Freemasons, the secret society. Now, they say that they're not a religious organization. They'll tell you that.
Right.
They'll tell people that they can be of any religion and join. Right? However, they have a high priest, they have a temple, they have their own version of the King James Bible, and their core belief is Egyptology. You know, they worship the ancient gods of Egypt. So, and they have the illumination there, or the light that they're trying to reach.
Right.
And that light is Lucifer, you know?
Absolutely.
At the end, at the end of it. So, although they tell you it's okay to be any religion and join it, and they're not really a religious group, so you can believe anything and join it once the members are in there, and then they're indoctrinated into the pagan belief system of Freemasonry.
Correct.
You see? But they say they're not a religious group at all. That's not true. So they're not being honest with us. If you look at the United Nations, they have the United Nations, think about this, they have a religious system, and we've done an audio on that. So I think all these cultural movements and organizations have some sort of religious belief behind it. All of them seem to be, the different organizations are seeking some sort of illumination or wisdom outside the Word of God, every one of them. And they're not going to find it. They're going to end up with Lucifer. So, and that's true with this. So I was surprised too. And I think in the beginning of this, Virgil kind of goes over things because they decided to do this as an extension to their BLM. You know, obviously what Virgil probably did is, okay, understanding that every movement has a core belief, I think he went, you know, in and just read up and studied what they believe and, you know, got the answers that he needed that he could share with other people. So so I'm going to give you a description in the audio. We're starting this at 3:39, three minutes and 39 in. And the reason we're doing that is because there's just a lot of stuff in the beginning, you know, advertisement, talking about groups and things like that. So at 3:39, we're going to start it, and I'm going to give an audio description of it, read the description in the audio. In this freestyle episode, Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker of Just Thinking Ministries discuss some of the fundamental doctrines that guide the organization Black Lives Matter and how those beliefs are more resemblant of a church with its own religion rather than a political entity seeking social justice. So that's intriguing to me.
Right.
He's going to make the connection here that they're more of a church than a political movement. You know, and like I said, Virgil will start with the ideology, you know, and the cultural matter before he moves on to the belief system. So that got my attention, just reading, you know, where he's going to prove that they're more of a church with its own religion than they are a political movement. And it's like you said, you know, it captures you. And we've mentioned many times that these men know what they're talking about. They were the best in the subject for me.
Right.
I thought they were.
Hands down.
Yeah.
There's no competition. There's no competition.
No, none.
Yeah.
So you can start the audio at 3 minutes and 39 seconds in, and feel free to stop at any time you'd like,
okay,
unless you have something further to say.
No, like I said, I'm the title is so intriguing. You know, and of course, that's what, you know, when I go to YouTube and I'm scrolling through different videos that they're out there, I click on the titles that are intriguing titles, right?
Yeah.
So that's it. This is, I would never have connected BLM to a church, but here we go. Let's see what they have to say.
Right. Okay.
That we titled Black Lives Matter with a question mark, right? So here we are on these microphones, even though it hadn't been long. Any thoughts around that for you?
Yeah, we really hadn't planned to be back behind the microphone this soon. I don't think, you know, we released the episode about 3.5 weeks ago that we titled Black Lives Matter with a question mark, right? So here we are again. It's not necessarily so much a follow-up to that episode that we're doing today. We're calling this one a freestyle episode. And for our new listeners, when we refer to an episode as freestyle, what we mean by that is that, you know, it's not an episode that was necessarily on the calendar for us, and maybe not even dealing with a topic that was at top of mind. But in this case, it's a little bit different because things continue to be fluid, dynamic around Black Lives Matter, the organization, and a lot of the activities that are happening in the country and around the world under the Black Lives Matter banner. So, and I know, Virg, you're going to touch on this here in just a second. I know this was definitely a burden on your heart to address some additional aspects of that organization, their worldview, their agenda, that we didn't get to touch on in the previous episode that we did. So, yeah, with everything that's going on around us in our personal lives and our professional lives, the opportunities that have been coming through the podcast to both you, me, to maybe expand and extend our voices either individually or together, you know, praise be to God that he's given us the grace and the opportunity to be back behind the microphone today to address some additional concerns, issues that we think the church, Christians, truly regenerate believers should be concerned about as it relates to this organization, Black Lives Matter. So like you, brother, I'm glad to be back behind the mic with you today. As we record this episode, it is Sunday, September 13th, 2020. Lord willing, we're going to drop this episode to our listeners on Wednesday, September 16th. So glad to be back behind the mic with you, man.
How does that audio sound? Is it too loud? Is it just good?
I think it sounds good.
Okay, perfect.
I'm glad to be behind the mic with you. One of the things, as I kind of began to frame this up, I remembered you hitting me up, kind of texting me and saying, hey, what do you got? What do you have? What are your thoughts? You got any topics? And truth be told, man, the issue of Black Lives Matter has just seemed to be on steroids. The issue around critical race theory and its importance and prominence has even started trending on Twitter. There was so much that we unpacked in the previous episode. And I really wanted to just lay out what I had been seeing across the culture in a number of different areas. And so as I called you and said, hey, man, here's kind of what I want to do, you kind of said, hey, well, let's let you lead it. Let's let you kind of take charge of it and kind of run the opening monologue and kind of get us kicked off. And so I'm going to do that. But my whole goal in doing this is just to kind of set up the framework that was going on in my head as I'm viewing culture, as I'm you know, looking at what's happening in the world around us. And so I want to lay it out by saying it was on March 11th that the NBA had decided to postpone its season. And this was due in no small part to the coronavirus pandemic. And at the time, no one really knew what would happen with regard to the virus. No one knew its impact on players or fans. Few knew when the season would actually return. But after a 15-week hiatus and the NBA's Board of Governors, they would come together and announce a return to the 2019-2020 season with 22 teams returning to play as of July the 30th. Now, rather than a celebration of humanity, given the fact that we were in a global pandemic, who up to this point had overcome massive death toll, especially when you consider in light of the numbers. I remember them you know, quoting numbers like 2 million people would potentially die from this virus at the outset. I think you remember that as well. But the approach that was taken by the NBA was not to celebrate the fact that we had overcome a massive death toll, not to celebrate the humanity of life or the fragility of life, right, how fragile human life is. The approach taken by the NBA was that they wanted to be informed by a particular worldview. Now, informed by a video of the tragic death of George Floyd, a 46-year-old man killed on May 25, 2020, during an arrest for allegedly using a counterfeit bill, the NBA decided it would be bowing and taking a knee, not for all of humanity, but for the untimely death of the life of a black man. Now, at no other time is race elevated above death. But in this instance, all lives lost due to the global pandemic, they were not remembered. I mean, we didn't even think about that. However, the tragic life of one George Floyd would be the only life that mattered, as the NBA would post Black Lives Matter on basketball courts as players took a knee in remembrance of this injustice. Now, the global pandemic would also have its impact on the National Football League, who determined they would not engage in preseason football games. they would diminish the number of fans in the stands and put protocols into place for players in an effort to try to combat the spread of the virus. However, on July 1st, following the stand taken by the NBA, Roger Goodell, commissioner of the National Football League, made clear in a statement that the pressing issue was not the 182,000 lives lost due to COVID or COVID-related death, nor the people impacted by families, friends, neighbors, and loved ones that were left behind. Instead, the statement by Roger Goodell was that the real issue facing our country was systemic racism and police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
Goodell would go on to announce that the league's commitment to fight. He would go on to announce the league's commitment to fighting, not the global pandemic. They weren't interested in fighting the global pandemic. They were interested in fighting social justice, as he announced a $250 million effort over 10 years to support programs addressing criminal justice reform, police reforms, economic and educational advancement. Furthermore, Lift Every Voice and Sing, known as the Black National Anthem, would be played at the opening week of football's return. Now, in the area of education, school systems around the country are racing to beef up their curriculum to reflect the importance of the Black Lives Matter agenda. In a June survey published in Education Week Research Center, the survey found this. It found that U.S. schools are altering their curricula to include more focus on Black history in direct response to the Black Lives Matter protest this summer. Now, on its face, thinking about an examination of Black history wouldn't be problematic, except for the fact that all history will be viewed through the lens of the Black Lives Matter protesters. The survey also found that there were increased demands for teaching material and practices that help Black students better understand their place in the country. I mean, that statement alone is racist on its face, but I won't pause there.
Right.
I'll continue
yeah.
walking through what I want to share. Finally, and probably most dramatic, the survey found that 81% of U.S. teachers actually support Black Lives Matter. Now, on college campuses, student activists are joining forces to organize Black Lives Matter protests. At times, these protests include marches on downtown streets in search of innocent patrons of open-air eateries. Now, if they just so happen to be committing the crime of being white, they're often accosted by mobs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, things like these are no exaggeration. This is absolutely what's happening in the culture. And this is a part of what caused me to think. I really want to talk to Daryl about these things. But let me give you two other areas, Daryl, in particular. One is the area of entertainment. Mary Louise Kelly, she's the host of National Public Radio, NPR, an NPR show called All Things Considered. And in her mm-hmm. opening monologue, she said the following, quote, Log in to your Netflix account and you will see a new category this week. She excitedly said this. You'll see a new category this week, the Black Lives Matter collection. Amazon Prime and HBO are also featuring Black TV and filmmaking. At the same time, HBO Max has pulled from its library the classic film Gone with the Wind until it can give audiences context on the movie and how it romanticizes slavery in the South during the Civil War. Now, all of these entertainment companies, and again, I'm still quoting from Mary Louise Kelly. Now, all of these entertainment companies and plenty more have expressed solidarity with Black Lives Matter, and they're highlighting a lot of good shows and some not so good shows, end quote. Now finally, in the area of news media coverage, I thought this was incredibly interesting. It's important to note that news media coverage of any event in culture has a tendency to shape how we view the world around us and what is actually a priority. In a Washington Post article written on July 6th by Michael T. Haney, the importance he said of news, the importance he wanted to express, the fact that news and news coverage becomes very, very important, and how news is covered becomes very apparent as well. He said this. Haney, again, he's a research professor for the University of Michigan Institute of Research on Women and gender. So I gave his title on purpose because I wanted to emphasize the fact that this is hardly a far right wing thinker. He is the research professor at the University of Michigan Institute for Research, and the research that he focuses on is research on women and gender. Well, he stated the following, quote, "The George Floyd death under the Minneapolis police officer's knee on May 25th outraged millions in the United States and around the world. People have responded in a variety of ways, with record-breaking, he says, peaceful protests. Violence and property damage, however, did occur. Artistic expression and online activism also was reflected." And I'm continuing a quote from him. He says, How has the news media covered these mass events compared to how they did so in the past? To find out, he said, I looked carefully at the U.S. news coverage of the protests over the past 20 years. So what he's doing is he's looking at news coverage of protests mm-hmm. over the course of the last 20 years, and mm-hmm. he's examining them against the backdrop of how much more news coverage was on the event that took place on May 25th regarding George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I looked carefully at the U.S. news coverage of protests over the past 20 years and found that the media focused on the protest in June 2020 more than during any other month in two decades.
Wow.
So what are you saying there is if you take the past two decades, the past 20 years, that the George Floyd incident that took place in June was covered not only by more media outlets, but more often. There was a 60% increase in news coverage about George Floyd than when you combine all of the past protests over the last 20 years.
Wow.
He said not since Kent State killings, in which the National Guard troops shot and killed four student protesters in May, has there been so much media attention on one event as a protest, end quote. So the question that needs to be asked is, what is the definition that he's using of protest or peaceful mm-hmm. protester as compared mm-hmm. to violent protests or riots or looting and killing in the name of Black Lives Matter? I'll say this, and then Darrell, I'll turn to you. It would be the Chicago Black Lives Matter organizer, Ariel Atkins. I know you remember seeing her on TV.
Yep.
She was talking about the mob. She was a Chicago Black Lives Matter organizer. She would be talking about the vandalism and the looting of downtown businesses there in Chicago. And she said, hey, they did nothing wrong. She called it, quote, reparations, end
mm-hmm.
quote.
Mm-hmm.
She said she would go on to tell the NBC News outlet in Chicago this. She said, quote, looting is reparations. Anything they want to take, they can take it because businesses have insurance, end quote. And media outlets seem to agree with Ariel as they continue to advance the idea that the looting and rioting were simply the silent cry of those who can't be heard. Now,
yeah.
Now politics and religion don't go unscathed either. We're going to talk about that during the course of our time in this episode. But, Darrell, this was the process, man, as I kind of began to catalog all of the different things, all of the different issues around Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter movement, and how this has moved from a protest or an issue with regard to George Floyd to what is more representative of religion, I thought, we've got to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so my thesis argument is that America's new religion can be found in what I'm calling the Church of Black Lives Matter.
Okay, now I see where they got the title and where they're coming from. Comments
mm-hmm.
on your part.
Well, there's a few things I wanted to talk about, and I'm not sure Virgil knows about the Agenda 2030, but he made an important connection there without realizing it. He said, I think he said $250 million they're putting out for 10 years. That's in 2020 that they decided
right.
to do that. That's for 2030. That's Agenda 2030. So there's a connection there with
right.
that they've extended that. We also we need to make a connection between the virus and how the virus has helped the agenda, the global agenda.
Right.
You know, there's little effort. Now, once you capture a people, you can monitor them with little effort now. You know, the technology is advanced. This all advanced. You have to ask that question, you know.
Right,
is there a
right.
connection between the virus and how it helped move this agenda? Because it did. And then you have your 2030 connection up here, 10 years, 250 million going in.
Right.
That takes them right to the 2030. And I want to make a statement, I think, on the bowing stuff. Bothered me from the beginning because bowing is an act of worship. Bow means to depress or prostrate, according to the Strong's Dictionary. Bowing, I looked at Deuteronomy 17:3. You know, when we worship, worship is to work, serve, till, enslave. You know, all bowing is to be to the Lord. It bothers me to see people bow, you know, because every knee will bow to him and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So bowing is connected to worship. And
right.
the problem with that, with me, is the Antichrist is going to require two things, his mark and your worship. That's the two things that's involved
right.
with
right.
the Antichrist. So we have
right.
to be careful who we bow to and what we bow to.
Right.
That's something that's bothered me from the beginning. How do you feel about that? I want your thoughts on that.
Yeah, two things. Like you said, bowing is connected to worship, where God says to Elijah, don't be so discouraged because I have 7,000 who have
mm-hmm.
not bowed their knees to Baal.
Bowed their knee. Yep.
Right. So we know there's an abundance of scriptures that tell us that in certain instances, bowing has to do with, now also bowing has to do with mourning the death of a fallen comrade, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
people take a knee when a soldier dies on the battlefield. That's not a sign of worship, but it's a sign of respect that this person made the ultimate sacrifice. But that is not the context in which Black Lives Matter is doing it. They're doing it on a. They're doing it as a religious
mm-hmm.
statement, not as one of honor, not as one honoring, you know, a fallen hero.
Right.
So that you know, we can make that clear distinction. The other thing is this: the reason why there was 60% more TV viewership on George Floyd is because, one, the act was extremely heinous,
yes.
right?
You
know,
agree on that. Yeah.
Right. To put your knee on someone's neck for 9 minutes and to hear that person say, I can't breathe, and you're so callous
mm-hmm.
as to keep,
yep.
you know, and we were all in shock because that man had no heart, had no soul to do that to another human being. So that's
correct.
You know, we've never seen that in all the years of racial tension and all that. We've never seen anything like that. And it
that's
was
right.
just, you know, awful. The second
horrendous.
Thing, the second reason why it got so much play is because that white officer gave credence too much of the lying of black, you know, Black Lives Matter. You know, it's always white officers killing black people. That's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of this police officer, he was white, so they used him as the poster child for all
yes.
abusive cops. The
yes.
white police officer gave the black organization the ammunition that they needed to do the looting, and you see, so you can't play into the enemy's hand. And
mm-hmm.
that's what that police officer did. In fact,
yep.
he messed it up for all the other. Listen, there were so many police officers, black and white, and Latino and Oriental that had to quit the force because of what that stupid guy did.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of policemen said, I gotta retire. I'm taking early retirement because now I have a bullseye on my back, and no matter what I do, I'm going to be seen as a pig. Right? Like in the 1960s, police officers were called pigs, you know.
Yes.
Or the fuzz, the pig or the fuzz. So many policemen retired early because they saw that it was a no-win situation after that rogue police officer who just happened to be white, which really helped. Listen, Black Lives Matter, they were just high-fiving each other because this stupid Caucasian police officer gave them a video that would just cause the money to be rushing in.
Yep.
See, the money rushed in with that guy. It's like these religious organizations who are just praying for another hurricane to hit so that they can use that as a ploy to raise funds.
That's right.
So you know, I kept watching the George Floyd thing, not because I'm a Black Lives Matter sympathizer, but because the act was so heinous. You know, we always talk about this guy has his conscience seared. This guy has no conscience. But that police officer, he had no conscience. I mean, you know, you really had it on video that this guy was, he's so.
Well, you notice Virgil called it when he was killed, when George Floyd was killed.
Right.
He doesn't.
Right.
So he knows that, you know.
Correct.
He understands that.
Right.
That's exactly what it was. And we all agree with that. And, you know, many, many young and older people stood with Black Lives Matter for that reason. They stood, white.
Right.
The whites joined, you know, because of the heinous, you know, act.
Right, and it doesn't represent all of us. It doesn't. What that one guy did does not represent all of the other white people in America who are wonderful people. They're wonderful.
Yeah.
But just because that guy, you know, that's what Black Lives Matter needed to get them front and center on the pages of, they're praying for another one like that. Let me tell you, now that it's died down a little bit, they're praying for another dum-dum to do something as stupid to put to why fundraising drive.
That's right.
We need your money. Right. Send us your money. We're going to be here. And then what do? They take that money and they buy houses.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Real
That's
estate.
Yeah.
Do. Yeah. Go into the movie business.
There you go.
You know.
There you go.
Entertainment.
There you go.
News. Everything. Media. So they want it's like a form of the NAR almost, you know, when you think
Correct.
About it. Think about that.
Sure.
They want to, you know,
conquer
the NAR think that they're going to conquer the world. BLM thinks they're going to conquer the world, you know.
Sure.
It's the same type of thing the NAR is doing.
Right. Now, the other people who got shot, they didn't get much airtime because it was a black officer shooting a black driver or whatever, you know. So that's why. Now, again, they got some play, but not the kind of play George Floyd got, because that was a golden opportunity to exploit the situation and to raise a yacht boat full of money. That's the reason.
Right.
So. Okay.
Well, that's the trouble, that they are exploiting and they're not helping. This is the whole issue. They're exploiting without helping any black lives. That's irritating. What are they doing for the victims? Nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Absolutely. And, of course, George Floyd's family got $27 million. So I don't think George Floyd's family is hurting now for money. But still, they did not say to the family, here's a couple of million. Right? They didn't say that. So
they didn't say here's 50 cents. They just moved on to the next tragedy. You know, they're moving on. They're moving on to the next. What one victim said is that they're exploiting the name and they're not doing anything. You know,
correct.
They're just using the name of our loved one, but they aren't helping anyone.
Right.
They're not a solution to any problem. They're just exploiting our loved one. And, you know, when you have a victim saying that, one of the, you know, a relative of a victim, that's powerful because that's exactly correct.
Absolutely. All right. Here's more.
And I think it's important for us to look at. I couldn't wait based upon all the things that I've been looking at and examining. And this is a brief nutshell. I mean, we could have spent 2 hours just talking about all the issues in the news. I mean, I know you've been watching it. I've been getting articles from you and different things I've watched you tweet out and things I'm reading. I mean, we could have done nothing more than for the next 2 hours walk through all of the different articles and news events that are out there. But I wanted to tee this up and talk about it and talk about this religion of Black Lives Matter, the Church of Black Lives Matter. So as I threw this to you, man, what were some of the things that you thought about this as I kind of talked to you about it? What was going through your mind?
Yeah, well, first of all, Omaha, man, thanks for laying that out the way you did there, bro. That was really, really interesting, really solid. But you know, when you approached me about the idea of doing a freestyle episode of the Just Thinking podcast on the Church of Black Lives Matter, and I subsequently saw your outline of the direction that you want to go with this topic, you know, the first thing that came to my mind was a book by John MacArthur titled Fool's Gold. Fool's Gold, subtitled Discerning Truth in an Age of Error. Fool's Gold, Discerning Truth in an Age of Error. And what John MacArthur says at the very outset of that book, in chapter one, okay, I think helps put into context what we're going to be discussing in this episode, particularly as it relates to the, quote, church, unquote, of Black Lives Matter. So let me go ahead and share a passage from John MacArthur's book, Fool's Gold. Quote, Eureka is a simple Greek word, only 6 letters long, but for a generation of treasure seekers in the late 1840s, it became a life slogan, meaning, quote, I have found it, unquote, in English. The term purportedly comes from Archimedes, the Greek mathematician who cried out, Eureka, Eureka, when he determined how much gold was in King Hiero's crown. Yet for James Marshall, who discovered gold at Sutter's Mill in 1848, and many of his contemporaries, the term took on a new meaning. For them, Eureka meant instant riches, early retirement, and a life of carefree ease. It's no wonder that California, the Golden State, includes this term on its official seal, along with the picture of a zealous gold miner. News of Marshall's discovery spread quickly throughout the nation. By 1850, over 75,000 hopefuls had traveled to California by land and another 40,000 by sea. Whether by wagon or by boat, the journey was an arduous one as adventurers left friends and family behind in search of fortunes. Even when they finally arrived in San Francisco, the closest gold fields were still 150 miles away. Undaunted nonetheless, many of the 49ers set up mining camps and started to dig. As they traveled out to their various destinations, prospectors quickly learned that not everything that looked like gold actually was. Riverbeds and rock quarries could be full of golden specks and yet be entirely worthless. This, quote, fool's gold, unquote, was iron pyrite, and miners had to be able to distinguish it from the real thing. Their very livelihood depended on it. Experienced miners could usually distinguish pyrite from gold simply by looking at it, but in some cases, the distinction was not quite so clear. So they developed tests to discern what was genuine from what wasn't. One test involved biting the rock in question. Real gold is softer than the human tooth, while fool's gold is harder. A broken tooth meant that a prospector needed to keep digging. A second test involved scraping the rock on a piece of white stone, such as ceramic. True gold leaves a yellow streak, while the residue left by fool's gold is greenish black. In either case, a miner relied on tests to authenticate his finds. Both his fortune and his future depended on the results. Doctrinally speaking, today's church is in a similar position to the California gold rushers of 1850. Spiritual riches are promised at every turn. New programs, new philosophies, new parachurch ministries, each glitters a little bit more than the last, promising better results and bigger returns. But as was true in the mid-1800s, just because it glitters doesn't mean it's good. Christians need to be equally wary of fool's gold. We must not accept new trends or old traditions without first testing them to see if they meet with God's approval. If they fail the test, we should discard them and warn others also. But if they pass the test, in keeping with the truth of God's word, we can embrace and endorse them wholeheartedly. California gold miners would only cry Eureka when they found true gold. As Christians, we should be careful to do the same, unquote. That was from John MacArthur's book, Fool's Gold. Now, my point in reading that passage from John MacArthur's book is to convey to our listeners that Black Lives Matter is fool's gold. Black Lives Matter is fool's gold. It is a mirage. It is a phantasm, a delusion. Okay? Black Lives Matter is a, quote, church, unquote, in the sense that it not only has followers and disciples, if you will, and a very specific set of doctrines and beliefs to which that organization rigidly and dogmatically subscribes, but perhaps even more importantly, Black Lives Matter is a church in that it proffers a worldview that, not unlike every other religion that has ever existed in human history, is fundamentally eschatological in nature. Okay? Now, I say that Black Lives Matter is an eschatological entity in nature on the basis of what is printed in the Black Lives Matter Manifesto, which is titled, quote, A Vision for Black Lives, Policy Demands for Black Power, Freedom, and Justice, unquote. This is the Black Lives Matter Manifesto.
All right, let's pause it there. Do you want to comment on anything John MacArthur wrote or anything that
they said? Yeah, I think there's a good sermon in that, Fool's Gold.
Yeah.
I was thinking of all kinds of things from your lessons, okay?
Right.
You have the real gold standard and then you have the fool's gold.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, every year you'll find that the pastors will introduce a new method, a new vision, mm-hmm. a new way, a new strategy, a new church program. But what happens?
Mm-hmm.
The church doesn't change. The church is hurting. The church is – so none of that was based on what? The Word of God. Just based on,
that's right.
Okay, what's the new cough syrup we can give this kid to see if he can get rid of his
yeah.
cough? But we know
right.
that, in ancient times, people used to pull up with their wagon saying, hey, look at my snake oil. It'll cure everything.
Yes.
And it didn't.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's it.
My mind just went everywhere with that. Connections. When he said that. That was, a good
sure.
little teaching there in that okay. book. And I could just put all your shows together with that, in my head.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Because, listen, everyone wants gold, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants
yeah.
gold, but you have to work hard at producing
mm-hmm.
a gold standard.
Right.
Gold isn't
right.
going to jump out of the dirt into your pocket. Those people spent hours and hours digging, mining, sifting through dirt, tons of dirt, to find little ounces of gold.
Isn't that a great example of what we need? We need to do. It's the same thing in the Word of God. That's exactly what we need to do. You know, it's a perfect definition. You know, like we said earlier. You know, the NAR, they want to conquer the world. BLM, they want to conquer the world now. You have the Word of Faith. They want to own the world. You know.
Look, my wife was going to this little church recently because our daughters and the daughters of this pastor are very good friends. So this guy became the pastor of a little country church. So my wife says, let's go support them. Let's go over there. And so he'll start out every Sunday speaking in a little bit of tongues. And he'll go, oh, he'll spend a half hour going, oh. And my wife says, okay, this guy has no sermon today. So when we get into the car and my kids say to me, okay, Dad, where are you taking us for Sunday dinner? I go, oh. Which means you ain't getting nothing because, you know, look. To get gold to feed to God's people, you have to dig in that word.
Yeah.
You just have to dig in that word. And these people don't want to dig. They don't want to work. When you give people the spirit, and I'm a Pentecostal pastor, right? I believe in the spirit. I'm not knocking the spirit. But give me the spirit and word. Mm-hmm. Right? Don't give me this phony baloney spirit. Yes, Lord. Speak, Lord. You know, and it's a game. It's a game. It's a game.
These pastors, you know, they belong to the tribe run with credit cards.
That's it.
I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
Oh.
So, all right. Okay. Let's go back to these guys who are doing a wonderful job.
And they are, by the way, they are eschatological. They are. I mean,
sure,
and he'll prove that.
Well, look,
they've got an end time scenario here, don't they?
Right,
when they want to conquer and take over.
That's it.
That's a connection there.
Satan is sending all kind of polluters in the end times, not just to pollute the church, but to pollute society. It's a global pollution in every sphere of life. This is why you'll find these polluters at the public library reading to little children. Satan's got all kinds there's all kinds of polluters.
Right?
I mean,
and the definition of a church is just a following. I mean, in the world, in the sense of a church, let's say the organized church, you have a following, disciples, and a belief system that they subscribe,
you know.
They have all that. They have
all
that. But they also have
if you have bishops and members. Now, members are the people who give the money, and the bishops are the people who live large. If you got that, you have a church.
If the bishop
takes your money and turns it into real estate for him, you have a church.
Yep.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
A vision for black lives, policy demands for black power, freedom, and justice. Now, as I read from the manifesto, I want our listeners to listen very closely to see if they can pick up some of the eschatological vernacular that is contained within that manifesto. All right? I'm quoting from the Black Lives Matter manifesto titled A Vision for Black Lives, Policy Demands for Black Power, Freedom, and Justice. Quote, together, we demand an end to the wars against black people. We demand that the government repair the harms that have been done to black communities in the form of reparations and targeted long-term investments. We also demand a defunding of the systems and institutions that criminalize and cage us.
this document meaning the manifesto, this document articulates our vision of a fundamentally different world. However, we recognize the need to include policies that address the immediate suffering of black people. These policies, while less transformational, are necessary to address the current material conditions of our people and will better equip us to win the world we demand and deserve, unquote. That was a direct quote from the Black Lives Matter Manifesto titled "A Vision for Black Lives Policy Demands for Black Power, Freedom, and Justice." Now, that Black Lives Matter aspires to create, quote, a fundamentally different world, unquote, and conversely to, quote, win the world we demand and deserve, unquote, is intrinsically eschatological language in terms of the goals and objectives that organization desires to accomplish. But not only is Black Lives Matter a church, quote unquote, in the sense that its goals and objectives are formed within an eschatological framework, and that it has followers and disciples who are zealously committed to bringing to fruition that eschatological vision, Black Lives Matter is also a church in the sense that its objectives are soteriological, okay? And what I mean by that is that by achieving both a, quote, fundamentally different world and, quote, the world we demand and deserve, unquote, Black Lives Matter is proffering to the world at large a kind of societal salvation, which is to say a kind of self-deliverance from this current temporal world to a new yet equally temporal world that will function and operate in such a way as to bring about the consummation of the, quote, fundamentally different world, unquote, that Black Lives Matter and its supporters and adherents envision, okay? But the aforementioned statements that I read from the Black Lives Matter Manifesto is precisely why, Omaha, you and I stressed so emphatically in the episode we did about 3.5 weeks ago titled Black Lives Matter. That's why we stress so emphatically the fact that Black Lives Matter is an entire worldview, and it's not merely some harmless, innocuous hashtag that looks good on social media or on a T-shirt or a bumper sticker. You got any thoughts on that, man?
Man, I got a lot of thoughts. I want to go back to what you talked about with the section that you read about fool's gold, discerning the truth in an age of error. And again, on the Just Thinking podcast, you're going to hear us mention a lot of different books, a lot of different resources. We recommend those. Those are things that either Dow or I or both of us have read, and there's a reason why we're pointing to them as a resource. And so I'm going to encourage you to go check that out. I love the setup that you had when you talked about all that glitters is not good, mm-hmm. and that Christians need to be equally wary of fool's gold. I had an opportunity.
All right, let's pause it there to see if you have any comments up to that particular point.
Well, do you? Because he was getting into your area, the different aspects.
Yeah,
of how this could be a church.
Right. I would just say that everything that he hit on, the soteriological, which means salvation,
mm-hmm.
right? How
mm-hmm.
all of these different groups they're claiming that they're going to save the black race, or they're going to save the white race, or they're going to save America, or they're going to
mm-hmm.
listen. Salvation only comes from God.
That's right.
Because no matter how much you try to save people, let's just say you buy into Black Lives Matter, okay, and they're going to save the black
mm-hmm.
race. All right, and let's say that you join Black Lives Matter and you march with them and you advocate for them and you support them. There's going to come a day when you die. When you die, who's going to save you from eternal damnation? See, the salvation that they promise is only temporary. Why? Because it does not address sin. It doesn't address
Correct.
You and God. And when you stand before God at the white throne judgment, you're in trouble. So they may have saved you in America, but they didn't save you from hell. So it's soteriological, but it's short-sighted because it can never really save you from the ultimate thing you need to be saved from. That's one. Two, scatological, because, again, it's one of those tools that Satan is giving to – look, Satan knows that different people can be lured with different things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you grew up black and you felt like you were a little bit oppressed or you didn't get a fair shot, here comes Black Lives Matter, and they indoctrinate you, right? And so
mm-hmm.
now you become
yep.
part of the end-time movement. Someone
mm-hmm.
else, you know, the white supremacists, the skinheads, right? We gotta rid America of the Jews and the blacks and the brown people. Okay, so you join that group. Again, Satan is just luring different people
with
to different
yep, packages.
To,
yep.
Right. But, again, it's all part of, and that's the word ecumenical, right, where you
yes.
can all,
yes.
you can
all
be whatever
together.
You want to be. Right. It's like
yep.
it's like the alphabet community, the LGBT whatever letter you want to add to that. It's all ecumenical.
Mm-hmm.
You can be, you know, you
yes.
can be whatever kind of sex you want to be. But you belong
mm-hmm.
to our group. We're one. And
yeah.
the reason why we're the LGBTQ community is because there's a great population that hates us. So we have to band
mm-hmm.
together and fight for our rights. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So Black Lives Matter is about skin. LGBTQ is about sex. It's about, right? Sexual. So,
yep.
eschatological, end time confusion, end time babble.
Yes.
You started the song with babble. What is the ancient end time Babylon? A bunch of confusion. That's
yes.
what it is. That's what it
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is funny that you mentioned that, because my mind went back to when they took and they made your ethnic group, they added that, they, you know, ethnicity, they had the ethnicity, you know, not non-discrimination, but they added to that the LGBTQ, which has
right.
nothing to do with equal rights, you know.
Exactly.
Like you would with an ethnicity. And I found it odd at the time. You know, you can't discriminate against handicap, age, you know, sex, meaning man or woman, but they had to add,
right.
or skin color, but they added LGBTQ to that.
Right.
And I thought,
right.
well, that's strange that they would put that in that group. So, and you're right, it's because they want end-time confusion. This is all creating that. This is a different world, and that's where the eschatological comes
right.
in. They're creating a different world, and they have a different way of salvation
right.
to get in. And like you said, if they're standing in front of the white throne judgment, they already have a problem. They're already not going to make it, the white throne.
Right, right.
You don't want to be standing
yeah.
in front of the white throne.
Right. Look at abortion. Look at abortion. The
mm-hmm.
Democrats or the liberals promise a pregnant woman salvation. How? Well, we will protect your right to an abortion. Right
mm-hmm.
now you're pregnant. Right now you're in a state of hell. You're in a state of suffering. So now what we're going to do is we're going to save you. How do we say? We're going to make abortions available to you. You didn't want that baby?
Mm-hmm.
We'll save you. At
yeah.
the expense of who? Who dies? The baby.
Yeah.
You see? Now, why do the Democrats and the liberals side with the mother? Because the mother votes and the baby can't vote. The Democrats
That's right.
want to stay in power. So they turn to mama. Mama, we'll give you whatever you want as long as you keep voting our way. You have to wait for the baby to be 18 years old to get a vote from him. The heck with the baby. He can't vote now. There's nothing the baby can do for us now. The baby can't keep us in power. So kill the baby
right.
and get the vote from mama. You see?
Yeah.
That's Confusion, Babylon.
Yes,
that's
right.
That's what it is, Babylon. Now, think about it. Who? Look, on a farm, I've seen a cow give birth, right? And and the little calf is born dead. The calf is born dead. You know that cow stands there licking that baby for hours, hoping it'll get up. The cow is dead. Now,
don't make me cry.
No, I'm just trying to. I'm just because Paul says that these people have no natural affection. Animals are better mothers than these people.
Yeah.
You know, you have to take the baby, hide the baby, and then bury the and the mother all day, all night for 2 or 3 days is mooing, looking for her little baby.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Oh, dear.
Right? And so you're going to kill your baby? You're going to... But that's... See, that's the world in which we live in. Now, is Black Lives... Now, if we were to start... If you and I were to start an organization, Babies Lives Matter, we wouldn't get a penny. In fact, you and I would get hell from the liberals, from the... We would be persecuted. There would be people outside our houses screaming day and night, making noise, because we started Babies Lives Matters.
Yeah, that's right.
Think about it. We're protecting the innocent. And this is a racket. This is a money-making racket.
Satan's always offering a way out somehow. Of something, you know?
Sure.
He has a way of making people victims, and then he gives them a way out of it. And everything, you know, we need to focus on what the Lord does. He's our way out, you know,
He's our Savior. He's our Savior.
Exactly. So
That's
we can't
it.
Let, you know, these people are stepping in as saviors, you know, no matter what the situation is in life.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't let that happen. So that's what this group is doing. They're going
Absolutely.
To be your savior.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you're switching from Jesus to an organization. You're looking to them. So you're in a different world, a different way of salvation, and you have a different savior at the end. So
correct. Correct.
It's not good.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, here's more.
Opportunity to talk about the fool's gold of pragmatism that has invaded our churches.
Right.
And how what we've determined is that, hey, if it works, it must be right. Rather than examining whether it was right for us to do it to begin with on the basis of what Scripture declares to be right and true. I think we've got it. We definitely have to get back to that. And I think that's the comment that you quoted from about fool's gold and testing to see if what we've determined is something we're going to do actually meets God's standard is incredibly important. The second thing that I loved about what you did was you established the eschatological framework of Black Lives Matter. Right, and then you establish the soteriological framework of Black Lives Matter in the quote, based upon what they're saying. Not here's what I love about what we do. We don't make up this stuff. We don't come up with our own ideas about, hey, we think this is what they mean. We actually go to what they said,
right,
and then we unpack it, and then we exegete it, so that you can understand with specificity this is where they're coming from. They're articulating, this document articulates our vision of a fundamentally different world. That's eschatological. For those who try to figure out what is eschatology? Eschatology is the study of end times. It's the idea of the new heaven and the new earth. And what Black Lives Matter is offering is a fundamentally, by their own words, a quote, fundamentally different world, end quote.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely eschatological, and to add to it, it's soteriological. What is soteriology? It's the study of salvation. How one is saved, right? If you're saved and you are righteous and you are justified, well, the just inherit eternal life. And in this instance, Black Lives Matter is offering the world that they demand and deserve, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again,
mm-hmm.
I'll go a step further with this in particular, Daryl, and say that what they're offering is an ethnic harmardiology, right? They're
Indeed.
Offering an ethnic
yep.
harmardiology,
exactly.
right? What they're saying is that on the basis of my ethnicity, I am sinless. I am guiltless.
Mm-hmm.
I am
mm-hmm.
righteous. I am righteous.
Mm-hmm.
I there's an aspect of holiness that is attached to the level of melanin in my skin because of a historic past that I've endured here in America.
Yep.
So again, I totally agree with everything you stated. And again, for those who may be new, we definitely define our terminology here. The last thing you mentioned was that there's a whole worldview. These are not just three innocuous words, Black Lives
mm-hmm.
Matter. It's not.
Right.
And in those three words is a tremendous amount of a worldview. It's a worldview. It's a Trojan horse that far too many pastors are repeating, not recognizing that what they're advocating is fundamentally a worldview. And again, a worldview. Worldview, the dictionary defines it as a comprehensive conception of the world in which we live from a specific standpoint. Worldview, simply stated, is how we view the world. And there
right.
are numerous philosophical approaches to worldview. I won't go through them all, but as a believer, we are to hold to a biblical worldview. When you think about religion and the practice of religion, it's informed on the basis the manner in which we practice our religion is based in how we view the world. We call it orthodoxy, right teaching. That right teaching
right.
should inform your orthopraxy, the manner in which you practice those teachings, those fundamental teachings. And then in the book of Genesis, it begins by saying, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Knowing that, recognizing that, for us, our worldview is shaped on the basis of God's sovereignty over all things. As a believer, we understand that there's a meta-narrative of Scripture: God, man, Jesus, cross, resurrection. Some would say it this way. I'm sure you're familiar with this, Daryl. Creation, fall,
yep.
redemption,
mm-hmm.
consummation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
It's through that worldview that we ask questions like, who am I? Or why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
Or what's
mm-hmm.
wrong with me? Or how can
mm-hmm.
what's wrong with me be made right? And what you're seeing being offered by Black Lives Matter are answers to those questions in these manifestos. And we have to recognize what it is we're seeing and experiencing when we come into contact with Black Lives Matter. I'll finish by saying this. Our solution to these questions as a believer in Christ is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that
Amen.
Christ came, he lived a perfect life, that he died a sacrificial death on a cross in order to redeem mankind from sin, and that those who repent and place their faith in the finished work of Christ will indeed be saved. Now, for those entrenched in the Black Lives Matter movement, the answer to these questions differ dramatically. Black Lives Matter's orthodoxy is Marxian, right? It's critical race theory. It's harmardiology. Black Lives Matter's harmardiology, it's white guilt, it's white privilege, it's white fragility. Black Lives Matter's orthopraxy, it is never satisfied. It's never satisfied.
Yep.
The gospel of BLM
yep.
is a works-based
yep.
salvation that never truly saves the sinner. And that is why I believe that the church of the Black Lives Matter must be
mm-hmm.
rejected.
Amen, bro. Wow, that was powerful, man. That's powerful. You good? That's it? You good?
That's it, man. I'm good.
All right, man, let me take what you said. Let me just kind of springboard off of what you just finished up with. You know, I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, which says in the non-Arminian Standard Bible translation, of course, Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding." That's Proverbs 23:23. Let me repeat that. Proverbs 23:23, "Buy truth and do not sell it. get wisdom and instruction and understanding. That's Proverbs 23:23. That passage reminds me, Omaha, of something John Calvin said in his classic work, Institutes of the Christian Religion. John Calvin said this, quote, "We should judge nothing to be exceptional or worthy of praise unless we recognize that it comes from God," unquote. We should judge nothing to be exceptional or worthy of praise unless we recognize that it comes from God. That was John Calvin from his Institutes. Now, Calvin's statement acknowledges the reality that not everything comes from God, which is to say, not everything is godly. Okay, take, for example, what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, that even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So not all light comes from God. Now, that Greek word light is the word phos, P-H-O-S. Okay, that's the Greek word for light in 2 Corinthians 11, 14. That word speaks of the knowledge of the truth together with the spiritual purity associated with it. Okay, so again, 2 Corinthians 11, 14, where the Apostle Paul says, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. That Greek word light is speaking of the knowledge of the truth together with the spiritual purity associated with it. Now, believers in Jesus Christ need to be equipped spiritually to be able to discern, okay, or as Calvin said, to recognize what comes from God and what does not. In other words, what is truth and therefore true and what is not? Okay, we see that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, where we read, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." So there's that word test again. So that's what John MacArthur was talking about in the passage I read from Fool's Gold, when he was talking about the gold miners in the mid-1840s, that they would test. They would test the rocks that they found to make sure it was pure gold or if it was just pyrite, which is worth nothing. So 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." Now, when held up against the test of Scripture, when held up against the test of 1 John 4, verse 1, Black Lives Matter fails that test. Okay? Now, one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, Ms. Patrice Cullors, has even gone so far as to acknowledge that the Black Lives Matter, quote, movement, unquote, is not only political in nature, but more importantly, is spiritual. Okay? Now, when responding to a question posed to her in an interview about her organization, Patrice Cullors said, quote, "This is not just a social justice movement. This is a spiritual movement," unquote. Okay? Now, I want to expand on those words from Ms. Patrice Cullors by citing a Religion News Service article from June 15, 2020. The article is titled, "Black Lives Matter is a Spiritual Movement," says co-founder Patrice Cullors. Now, this article quotes Cullors in an interview she did with a woman named Melina Abdullah. Melina Abdullah is the co-founder of the Black Lives Matter Los Angeles chapter. Now, this interview was conducted as part of a live virtual performance of what was called a Prayer for the Runner, a Prayer for the Runner that the Fowler Museum at UCLA hosted on June 13, 2020. Now, I'm quoting now from that Religion News Service article from back on June 15, 2020. Quote, "After the performance," that is, after the performance of A Prayer for the Runner, Melina Abdullah, co-founder of Black Lives Matter Los Angeles, joined Cullors in a discussion that touched on the role that spirituality and prayer has played in the movement. Quote, "Part of our calling as people who do this work for Black lives is to lift our people up, both in their living but also in their death," unquote, Cullors said. Quote, "The need to lift our folks up feels so incredibly spirit-driven for me," unquote. Abdullah and Cullors touched on the practice of calling out the names of the victims that they advocate for in protests and demonstrations. is kind of a way to invoke their spirits, Abdullah said. Uplifting the names of victims goes beyond creating hashtags, Kolores said. Quoting Kolores here, it is literally almost resurrecting a spirit so they can work through us to get the work that we need to get done, unquote, she said. By highlighting their names, Kolores said she feels, quote, personally connected and responsible and accountable to them, both from a deeply political place, but also from a deeply spiritual place, unquote. Kolores touched on West African traditions that center on remembering ancestors. Quote, quoting Kolores here, quote, I feel like part of the story in the building of BLM was about remembering and remembering our people, not based off a white supremacist memory, which would be about slandering them and putting their names in the newspaper and showing their mugshots, unquote, she said. Quoting again, but instead remembering them from the place that their mothers and their fathers and their family would want us to remember them in, unquote. Kolores, I'm still quoting from the Religion News Service article here. Kolores, who grew up Jehovah's Witness, said she, quote, was always someone who almost obsessed about our, and parenthetically, black ancestors, unquote. Quote, quoting Kolores here, I wasn't raised with honoring ancestors. As I got older and started to feel like I was missing something, ancestral worship became really important, unquote, she said. The women also touched on their tradition of praying and pouring libations during the demonstrations. In a June 9th article, quote, titled, The Fight for Black Lives is a Spiritual Movement, unquote, Heba Farag, Assistant Director of Research at the USC Center for Religion and Civic Culture, examined how Abdullah led a group of demonstrators in a ritual at a recent protest outside of Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti's home. As part of the ritual, people recited the names of, quote, those taken by state violence before their time, ancestors now being called back to animate their own justice, unquote, Farag wrote.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a comment you cannot overlook. Farag said this. He said, as part of the ritual, people reciting the names of quote, those taken by state violence before their time, ancestors now being called back to animate their own justice, Farag wrote. After each name, Abdullah poured libations on the ground as the group in return chanted Ase. The Yoruba term is, quote, often used by practitioners of Ifa, a faith and divination system that originated in West Africa, unquote, Farag wrote. Abdullah on Saturday said it took her almost a year before she realized Black Lives Matter was much more than a racial and social justice movement. Quoting Abdullah here, quote, at its core, it's a spiritual movement, unquote, she said. Kolores said it became clear to her they needed, quote, spiritual protection, unquote, as Black Lives Matter was targeted by the right, by police, and neo-Nazis. To Kolores, she wouldn't be able to do this work without spiritual practice. Quoting Kolores here, it would be antithetical, unquote, she said. That was from a Religion News Service article depicting an interview between Melina Abdullah and Patrice Kolores of Black Lives Matter. Now.
Yeah, if they are participating in ancestor worship and asking the ancestors to work through them, we know that when a person dies, their spirit goes to heaven or their spirit goes to hell. Their body's in the ground, but their spirit, their soul, is in either heaven or hell. No one who's in heaven or hell gets to come back and work through anybody. If you're expecting some spiritual entity to be working through you, that is a demon. That is not your ancestor.
Look what happened to Saul. He tried that.
Correct.
Divination.
Right.
That's a divination. And that's exactly, now, they admit to that practice. That's their core belief behind us. That's important that we learn that.
Mm-hmm.
Summoning these spirits. And you know what's funny is what I thought when he was talking about this, I went back to, remember when Paula did that goofy when Trump lost or whatever, and she was, you know, was about to lose. She was summoned things. She called it angels from Africa.
Right. Right.
From Africa, precisely Africa.
Sure.
Was she practicing this? I mean, you know, did she just call them angels and they're actually spirits? I mean, I remember her doing that. I thought, what is she doing?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
is
and
this,
of course,
you know,
the ancient Israelites practiced libations, which are drink offerings. But if Black Lives Matter is doing drink offerings to their ancestors, they're giving drink offerings to demons.
Yes.
That's it. So... Yeah, this
so
is very
it's driven by demons.
Yeah,
yes, this
absolutely.
Is, I found it interesting because we, all the time, we associated this organization, or we found out that they were, you know, we considered that they were a part of a political movement or, you know, cultural movement or whatever. But this changes because they're actually a spiritual movement. You know,
Look, it's like if you, let's say Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan, okay, after he got shot, Ronald Reagan's wife consulted a medium. When can Ronald go out? When can Ronald attend events? Can you mark them on the calendar? Okay, so now here's Ronald Reagan having his life dictated by some fortune teller. Okay, that's demonic.
Yep.
You see, there's no way of getting around that. And that's what Black Lives Matter. So whether political, if you are asking the people that died, George Floyd, can you work through us? Can you make, now first of all, when George Floyd was alive, George Floyd couldn't work to help himself. How is he now going to help to work with through you?
Right?
Think about it.
Yeah.
Wait, what? He's going to work through me when in life the poor guy couldn't get out of his own way?
Mm-hmm.
The poor, all the years of his life were, you know, one drug rehab place after another. Now, again, his life shouldn't have been taken away, but the reality is that, you know, George Floyd had a hard life, life. So how is he going to now help you when he was alive and he couldn't help himself? While he was on the ground. While he was on the ground, he was asking for somebody to help him. I can't breathe. How is he now going to help you?
Right.
When he couldn't help himself. This is stupid. But again, stupid, dopey, ignorant people drink it up like it's, you know, ice mocha.
Kool-Aid.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they just drink it up like, you know.
Well, the thing that bothers me is they are a political movement. We know that. They are a commercial movement now. We know that.
Right.
But now we've just added their spiritual movement. That's the bad combination when you're political, spiritual, commercial.
And you see, right. And see, the moment, when you are a political movement, you're asking for the help of people to join your campaign. That's when you're asking for because every campaign, right, every campaign has a campaign chairman, has campaign volunteers, people who can go out, you know, span the neighborhood, give out your little poster, give out your little information, get on the phone call, get on the phone, make calls. Can you support this candidate? Can you donate to his campaign? Okay, we know that political movements depend on human agency. But now when you
right.
are a political movement and now you're also going into ancestor, African ancestor worship, and you're pouring libations, now you're asking for demons to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in the occult. Now
yep.
we're now, you know, now you have an added
no
edge
doubt.
To your movement because now you have
right.
demons energizing your movement.
Yep.
And that's why, if you notice this, these people are so chaotic. You know, everywhere
mm-hmm.
you read in the Bible that there was a demon, things were chaotic. That explains why
yes.
they get out of control and they burn things down. And, you know, they go
yes.
after people because they're full of demons.
That's right.
That's it. That's the answer. I never heard
yeah,
this
before.
Yeah,
they've opened themselves up.
I never heard these leaders from Black Lives Movement say that they're doing this and they're doing that. Listen, you are asking for the same way you and I, when we do these shows, we ask for the Holy Spirit to help us. They're asking demons
right.
to help them, whether they realize it
yes.
or not. That's what
right. That's
simple.
How serious this is.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
This is serious. This
exactly.
is serious.
And when you say, come
okay.
in me and work through me, oh, the demons will do that. They'll do
yes.
that. Because they're looking for
yep.
people to inhabit. And you're inviting
yep.
them. Come on in.
Yep.
Move in. Why don't you move in? I have an extra bed for you. Forget it. Before you know it, there's gonna be you're going to have a legion inside you.
Yep.
All right. Here's more.
I want to take that article and just segue into some serious exposition of what you just heard me read, especially the quotes
oh,
that came from Colors and Abdullah themselves, okay? In his book titled Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices, Precious Remedies Against Satan's
Thomas Brooks,
yep.
the old
yep.
Puritan.
Yep.
Satan's devices, the Puritan Thomas Brooks said that the primary device Satan uses to draw the soul into sin is, quote, to present the bait and hide the hook. Okay? Thomas Brooks says the primary device that Satan uses to draw the soul into sin is to present the bait and hide the hook, to present the golden cup and hide the poison, to present the sweet, the pleasure, and the profit that may flow in upon the soul by yielding to sin, and to hide from the soul the wrath and misery that will certainly follow by committing the sin, unquote. That was Thomas Brooks from his book, Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. Now, with those words from Thomas Brooks in mind, I want our listeners to recall the article that I just cited a few moments ago, and that article used terms like prayer and spirituality to describe the context in which Melina Abdullah and Patrice Colores were discussing what really drives the Black Lives Matter movement. But such terms as prayer and spirituality are merely the bait that hides the hook, okay? The bait was the hashtag, Black Lives Matter. That was the bait, you see. Everyone took the bait, but no one bothered to notice the hook to which the bait was attached. Okay, which reminds me, Omaha, of what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12:9, that we are to abhor what is evil and cling what is good. So when you think about Thomas Brooks in hindsight as it relates to Black Lives Matter, I think what he's saying there is absolutely brilliant and germane to what has contributed to the success of Black Lives Matter, especially within certain pockets of the church in America, especially and around the world. The hashtag Black Lives Matter was the bait that hit the hook. But see, you and I are right now behind the microphone today to show people what the hook is. Any thoughts, bro?
A lot of thoughts, man. I as you were walking through that, I'm going all the way through my elect standard version Bible sitting here to the left of me, and I thought I'd get that in. But the first thought that comes to mind is how important what we're walking through is for believers. In that, I was listening today to John MacArthur, Pastor John MacArthur, and he was, I mean, truth be told, we could have in light of what we're going to walk through over the course of the time that we'll engage in this particular episode, I'm going to encourage you to go back and listen to the Sunday service of September 13th. One of the things that he talked about how American culture has moved from postmodernism to absolute paganism. And when he said that, I immediately thought about what we're going to be walking through and this religion of BLM. I thought, wow, how timely those two things come together, what he's preaching about in his sermon about the pagan culture in which we live and how Christians are to stand in light of biblical truths and what that may mean and what that may cost them. And again, with what we're walking folks through in this particular episode, and with the ancestral worship that you just unpacked for people, we've got to know what to do with that, how to address that.
Exactly.
More importantly, I think it begins with the believer. And you said this over and over and over again. Far too many Christians are biblically illiterate.
Yep.
Far too many Christians are biblically illiterate.
Yep.
Can
I interrupt you real
quick?
Yeah,
go ahead. Yeah.
When we say biblically illiterate, we're not saying that you don't know how to read your Bible. We're sure you know how to read it. But our concern is that there's so many Christians out there who don't know what it means, what they're reading. They don't know what their reading actually means. They don't know how to interpret. There's no hermeneutic that accompanies what they're reading. So when we talk about biblical illiteracy, we're talking about exposition, exegesis, hermeneutics, so that you can apply a right understanding of what you're reading to the world that you're facing each and every day. So that's what we mean when we say biblically illiterate or biblical illiteracy. We're not condescendingly saying that no one can read their Bible. Of course, you can read your Bible, and you do read your Bible. What we're talking about is emphasizing understanding what you're reading. It's no different than what Philip asked the Ethiopian eunuch when the Holy Spirit led him to cross paths with the Ethiopian eunuch. What was the first thing out of Philip's mouth? The first thing out of his mouth was, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? So that's what we're talking about there, and I just wanted to clear that up for a second, Omar.
No, absolutely. I mean, you usually say it this way. You say it's one thing to understand what the Bible says, but do you understand what it means by what it says?
Right.
And so that's what we're talking about here. And it begins with believers understanding the truth of the Word. And again, I always appeal to 1 Peter 3:15-16, where it says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the hope, a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Far too many pastors are doing one of a number of things. One, they're buying into Black Lives Matter. And the reason is what you alluded to. They don't have a biblical hermeneutic. They don't they don't understand what Scripture says. So because of that, they latch on to what the culture is providing them. Oh, culture is telling me now that Black lives need to matter. So since May, all of a sudden, at the end of May, Black lives now matter because the culture is telling me that that's what's important. Now that's what I need to parrot. The second thing that's happening is you have pastors who don't really understand what's happening and are so afraid to say anything.
Yes.
That they say absolutely nothing at all.
Right.
And so their language doesn't impact culture. They're really not engaged in what's happening. They have no finger on the pulse of what's going on in the world around them. And so they're just kind of out there. And then you have folks like my pastor at my church, like men like John MacArthur, who are actually speaking to the issues. And those are the folks. You can tell which one you are on the basis of how much the culture attacks you. If there's
right.
absolutely no attack, if you're getting no attack, if everyone seems to be leaving you alone and everything seems to be moving in the right way, I guarantee you, you're not treating the word with the fidelity that's necessary, with the clarity that's necessary, with the prophetic voice, and by prophetic voice I mean truth proclaiming voice that the word intends to provide for the culture. Would it be salt and light in a culture that is dying? And in order to do that, we're going to irritate some folks. Folks are going to be upset, not for the purpose of us being.
Go ahead. Yeah. Just real quick. I was just thinking about listening to you there, Omaha. I'm thinking, that's Matthew 5:11, right? It's Matthew 5:11 where it says, "Blessed are you, right? Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." Rejoice, in verse 12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So I think that's a great point, man. If you're not catching any heat, you might want to check to see if the light bulb is screwed all the way in.
Absolutely. I think this is interesting as well. Furthermore, we have no doctrine of suffering. We have no doctrine of suffering.
Wow.
Right, and that's the reason. That's the reason why we embrace the pragmatism that BLM offers. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, Paul says this: "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in Him but also suffer for His sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now here I still have." Paul is encouraging people to engage in a doctrine of suffering that is reflective of Christ Himself. We have so embraced the prosperity gospel, the gospel of Americanism that says everything's going to be fine. We live in this this Christian bubble, and that America is this Christian nation, that we're not able to stand against the evil that's coming our way. And things like this should be helpful to inform. I think the section you just walked through with regard to the ancestral worship, it's helpful to inform us so that we can know how to stand against this from a biblical point of view.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned
right there, you want to comment on anything that's been said? These guys talk so fast and they say so much, and it's so good that you're intrigued, and I'm trying to, okay, where do I stop it?
Well, the Brooks statement, I thought that was a profound statement, you know, and
absolutely,
that would preach in itself, the bait that hid the hook. BLM is the bait that hid the hook. I mean, honestly.
Right.
Think about that, a Puritan saying that a long time ago, you know, about Satan doing that. And that's exactly right. And I think the issues that they're bringing up right now about pastors, you're doing exactly that with the classes, you know. You were called to do that, and I know why right now. Because of, you know, the illiteracy when it comes to, you know, the Word of God, you're correcting that.
Think about the last lesson I just did where I said, okay, we've just talked about, now we talked about the biblical, we haven't talked about the theological, we haven't talked about the ecclesiastical, and we haven't talked about the spiritual. But right now, just on the literal, I have 100 applications here. Who would like to take an application right now to be a pastor?
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
yeah,
I think I would have all 100 applications on my desk. Because when you realize what the job entails, now that you've been semi-educated, you don't want the job. You don't want the job.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
It is,
and he's right about the suffering. You brought that out in the beginning. You started with that. That's exactly true. I mean, that's it. We have the American gospel. That's what we have.
Right. See, the thing is that if you're going to stand up for Jesus, realize you're not going to have many friends.
Yeah.
Realize that all of your church invitations are going to dry up. Mm-hmm. Just real. So see, that's why I walked away, because I already knew what was going to come. Right? You already know if you fight City Hall, what is City Hall going to do? It's going to fight back.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's it. So you just walk away.
Yep.
And you're saying, later for these clowns. Because I'm just going to go and serve Jesus. That's it. And you find a platform in which you can do that, and you have peace of mind. You have peace of mind. Because you're just going to be, look, it's an uphill battle if you try to tell a bishop and the first lady, you need to put this into the hands of the elders. They're going to say, what? My personal ATM machine? You want me to give up the debit card, which I can use to make all the withdrawals that I want? You want me to give that up? No, that's not happening. See, so you're asking people to do things they're not willing to do. They're just not.
Yep.
They're not going to do it. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. So we're out of time. We just have a few minutes left. How would you wrap this up? This is really good. I like the way they made the connection with all of the spiritual activity that they do. And spiritual, of course, spiritual in the demonic sense, not spiritual in the Christian sense. But how would you like to wrap this up? And we stopped it at the 56-minute mark. 56-minute.
Okay. Well, one of the things that concern me is they are political. They're in everything, political right now. It is a political movement. It is a commercial movement also, with the media, the sports, the television, the movies. But it's also now we found a spiritual movement. And I think that that's a bad combination. We know what the Antichrist system consists of. Anything close to that, we need to be really worried about. And just the fact that, for me, the last show would have done it for me to say, no, I'm not involved with this. It's not biblical. But this just is the icing on the cake. You can't afford to be fooling around spiritually.
Right.
And this kind of stuff, it's demonic. So knowing that, I hope this helped the listeners understand what they're getting into. It's not just a group. It's not, like you said, a hashtag.
No, it's more than that.
And it's
a hashtag and a bunch of demons.
Yes.
Yep. All righty.
So,
great show as always. Great
thank
show.
You.
Looking forward to this, because this is 2 hours and 2 hours plus, and we just did 56 minutes. And the 56 minutes was just loaded. He was quoting.
Yes.
He was citing sources, which backs up their argument 100%.
Yes.
They're not making stuff up. They're getting it directly from the website of Black Lives Matter. So, listen, once you make that case, game over.
Yes, exactly. You do that all the time, by the way.
Thank you.
You do that all the time in your argument. And you block it up. So, it's like, how can I add? I can't add anything to that, what you just said. I can't argue against it. You have the proof. You have the receipt,
That's it. That's it. That's it.
It's locked up.
It.
So they do the same thing. So thank you for listening. I'm interested in listening to the rest of this myself, because I only take half of this at a time and really go through it, check sources. I follow through, I read what they're talking about. So, I'm excited about this too. So I hope this helps someone. We'll see you next week. Have a great day. Bye.
about tomorrow, live today. Her music and her fashion, her Hollywood and passion, stimulate the flesh just like wine. And all the while she pulls us all away from everything divine. But I have heard a voice calling me out of Babylon to a higher place. There's a mountain I can live upon. Further to the soul, put religion on, never let the spirit have never have it all.